Thanks for listening to the Replatform podcast, sponsored by Traction Hypersonics and hosted by myself, James Gerd. A warm welcome if it's your first episode. Thanks to our regular listeners. Look, we put a lot of time and effort into bringing this amazing content and brilliant guests for completely free of charge. So please help us keep the podcast going. Refer us to other people in your network. You know, spread the word, get more people listening. Help us by sharing our posts that we put out on social media. It helps amplify. And also, please do rate the show on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever else you're listening. That really does boost our visibility. With that in mind, we hope you enjoy our latest episode. So our topic today is around like pricing inventory AI for profit optimization. So quite an interesting topic. And let's face it, we all know that trading is tough in a lot of markets right now. Some sectors, specifically like housewares, are really impacted by the prevailing economic situation. Therefore, focus on profit is logical and necessary. I mean, it should always be, but we know that in economic times like this, there's a sharper focus. So today we're talking to our sponsor, Hypersonics, who provide profit optimization technology solution for e-com businesses. So really looking forward to find out more about how it works and how people are using it. So we're going to cover how they enable profit optimization, using AI and ML to identify potential business risks that you need to address, and integration paths and product roadmap. So let's welcome our guests. So first, let's welcome Brem, who's a co-founder and CEO, and also, I believe, you're a council member of the Forbes Technology Council. So welcome, Brem.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having us. Yeah, it's great to be here. It's great to be on this forum. I've been with e-commerce and enterprise software for more than a couple of decades now. Been in the entrepreneurial world for over 15 years. I'm excited to be on the show and excited to talk about what we can do for helping e-commerce merchants. Thank you.
Yeah, really look forward to it. Thanks for taking us on to join us. And also welcome to Rob, who's the SVP and general manager. I also noticed, Rob, when I was Twitter stalking you, that you're a keen rugby fan and a rugby coach.
Yeah, I am. I've been bit by the rugby bug probably 40 years ago and no longer playing. But my boys had, and I coached them all the way through their senior years in high school, and still do something about rugby every day. So, that's one heck of a game.
Yeah, fine.
Don't give me started, or we'll use up all of our time.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, exactly. We'll have half an hour on rugby tactics and rules. Before we get into talking about the product, Tweeny, do you want to give us like the summary for people who haven't come across Hypersonics before? What is it? What do you do?
You want to take that, Brent?
Yeah. So James, when we I'll tell you the story of how this whole company started and why we are relevant today. When we started this business, the idea was very simply to look at what companies like, you know, Amazon or Walmart or Target do for themselves and make that democratized for every other e-commerce business out there. And what that simply meant was, you have billions of merchants right now trying to sell stuff online. And a lot of times there are a lot of variables and signals in information, right, on what people are selling, how often are they selling, and applying intelligence to that, applying intelligence to understanding these signals and using that intelligence to turn that into recommendations that actually help them make that increased profit, right? But you're looking at cost signals, you're looking at selling signals, you're looking at people signals, you're looking at supply chain signals, you're looking at all these various signals that are happening globally today. And how do you turn those signals into meaningful outcomes was the broad brush problem we decided to solve. And obviously, we applied a variety of artificial intelligence, machine learning capabilities to be able to do that precisely, accurately, and in a timely fashion. Right? That's kind of what Hypersonics does for e-commerce. And most importantly, it's affordable, right? I mean, it's one thing for someone like a Walmart or a Gap to have 10,000 people sitting in-house doing this for them, right, on a regular basis. It's another thing for a small merchant or a mid-sized company to be able to do that, spending a small fraction of their cost. And I think that's what, again, AI and machine learning brings to the table is affordability at scale. And that's what we wanted to do, right? We are seeing it is huge mushrooming of e-commerce merchants globally, right? That's happening on Shopify platform, on BigCommerce, on Magento, on WooCommerce. And they're all trying to make a living. They're all trying to be profitable. They're all trying to grow. And we want to be part of that mission, right? We want to be part of the mission in enabling them to be successful. That's our mission, right? And if, you know, if our mission aligns with their mission, I'm sure we'd all do well. And yeah, that's what the company is about.
Cool. That's it's an interesting focus, because a lot of technology in e-commerce is capability based rather than engineering decision making towards profit specifically. So, can you, I guess, Rob, it'd be interesting for you to talk us through. You obviously work with different sets of businesses. What type of business typically works with you, and what size do you need to be? Because Prem, you just mentioned about, it's not just about, you know, the huge Walmarts of this world. And I think a lot of people probably think profit optimization sounds a bit out of my league if I'm a small business. So yeah, talk us through your customer base, types of businesses you work with.
Excellent. So we're, you know, James, very focused on product-led growth. When we got invested into this business, and really supported by our partners at Boston Consulting Group and Intel Capital, completely behind it because they're so invested in the e-commerce space, that we're working with companies that, you know, are ranging in revenue from $1 million to $500 million in GMV. And typically from a more precisely from an AI and an ML perspective, we're able to find patterns in that data with as low as 10,000 transactions per year and 200 SKUs. Typically, when we're doing an implementation, we're starting out with at least 2 years worth of data. Some of our customers are able to get 6 to 8 years worth of data, which, you know, AI loves the data, the more the better, right? And so when we begin our implementation, we're downloaded the data that we need from their e-commerce platforms, literally in under a day. And then based on the volume, our optimization engines start working. And within a week or so, we're coming out with something called recommendations. And these recommendations are all profit-based recommendations that are super easy for the merchants to use. You know, they have five components to them that the AI engines put together and get everybody on the same page with regards to what the objective is and what the reward is. And the coolest thing about it is that they're prescriptive and they're predictive. They're not, say, an AI tool looks at history and says, gosh, James, you know, we're done running the numbers and we're really sorry to see what happened last quarter. I bet you were really hurt here, and here. Yeah, we're using historic data, but we're projecting and into the future of things that can be done to help generate more profit every day for these retailers.
Yeah, I think a linked question to this, and maybe Prem, this is one for you, is because I think a lot of businesses are used to business intelligence, BI solutions, whether it's part of an ERP or they bought a separate, like a Power BI, and they're used to having to do analysis and trying to push this data to find where there are issues or opportunities, trends, etc. So can you talk us through what your Profit OS is doing differently to a traditional BI in terms of that intelligence piece?
No, it's a great question. And I think it helps clear the air on a lot of confusion sometimes people have between AI and BI. But it also goes back to the fundamental difference of artificial intelligence versus business intelligence. So one of the, just in terms of just ground facts, right? I think what an artificial intelligence machine learning system really does is precisely like the way it sounds, it actually brings in intelligence that it finds automatically from data, right? So it looks at data and it's able to identify things like patterns. It's able to identify things like anomalies. It's able to identify things like correlations. And if then that, then that, right? It's able to do if then else. So it's able to do things that were generally done by humans in the past. So if you use a BI system, it's a human being sitting and looking at the data and saying, oh, because I see this and I see this, probably they're correlated, or maybe I see this trend chart. So the first thing is, when you have a BI tool, it's a human being making these inferences. What an AI system does is it does the inferencing for you, right? It's already like, look at all these patterns. And where that becomes extremely powerful is what I call identifying those needles in a haystack. There are so many such needles in a haystack that even a human eye cannot catch when you have so many volumes, the level of volume of scale that we're talking about, right? So many transactions, so many SKUs, certain sales velocities, certain different demand patterns. You look at all these various signals, and using a BI tool, one of the biggest challenges is you're still depending on a human being to look at the data and tell you what's going on. An AI system does that automatically. So that's point number one. Point number two that an AI system does, like ours does, is be predictive and prescriptive in nature. It's not just identifying those patterns and things. What a BI system does is generally looking at the rearview mirror. It's like driving a car only looking at your rearview mirror, right? That's not the best way to drive a car, right? You need to be able to see what's lying ahead of you. And that's what a system like ours does, is not just providing you the rearview mirror on things. We are looking at what lays ahead of you. And that's where we're able to predict and prescribe based on what we're seeing is happening, right? So being able to look at all the signals, not just historical, but also what's happening right now on your website. What are people clicking? What are they adding? What are they abandoning? Looking at that, marrying that back with your forecast, marrying it back with your inventory, marrying it with your sales velocity and elasticity of your items, tying it all together, and then presenting a view of the future. When you look through your front windshield, you're seeing this is how it's going, and this is what we prescribe, right? You need to take a left here and you need to take a right here. Is what we will tell you to maximize that profit, right? That's the biggest difference. In a nutshell, those are the two big areas where AI and a system like ours is very different from a regular analytics or a BI system, right?
Attract, your complete product discovery growth engine. Create relevant shopping experiences that convert into sales and grow online revenue with personalized search, merchandising, and recommendation solutions powered by AI. Find out more at attract.com.
Yeah, I think that's a nice differentiation. What would be really useful, can you give like a specific context around the stock bit, like an example of the type of intelligence it gives people? And is it then given a recommendation, or is it more an alert for the person to act on?
Yeah, I'm happy to take this. I'll let Rob jump in as well. A good example is, so our system, for example, today has 11 different AI engines that work in cohesion. They all work together in making a recommendation. A good example of a recommendation or a prescription that we would do is to say, here are 15 items where we suggest you increase your price by 27% or by 11%. And we do it literally at an item level. We would actually tell you, these are 27 items that we recommend you increase the price over the next 48 hours. And this is how much you should increase it by. Right? And this is the forecasted impact and the forecasted lift that you're going to gain if you did that. Right? So that's an example of a recommendation we would do. And you can actually click on it and say, tell me, why are you suggesting this? And we actually show you the why behind it. Right? We will tell you things like, hey, there's been suddenly a sudden spike in traffic on your website. We suddenly see your sales velocity going off the roof against your forecast. We are seeing that your inventory levels are low for this item. We see that you're priced at less than your competition. So we'll give you all the reasons why we are making a recommendation. But being able to do this automatically, where the system comes to you and makes that recommendation, right? And it tells you exactly what you should be doing. And then it's up to you to make that decision, right? You can say, yes, this makes perfect sense. I'm taking this decision. You pick the ones you want and execute on it. And you can, the price changes on your website in less than 30 seconds. So we're able to do that in an end-to-end fashion where you can make that, you see the recommendations, you make the judgment, and you push it to your website. All this can happen within a matter of 10 to 15 minutes. That's kind of why we are here to help the merchants, because merchants don't have time, right? They don't have time. They don't have, they're trying to run a business and they want a system that can augment their decisioning. And that's what we try to do, right?
Just to comment on that. If I may, we're typically, in this economic situation right now, dealing with a lot of CEOs, and we're working with the CEOs in that, their companies are making a transformation from being really just excellent at building the top of the funnel and growing the company. And this transition is kind of a big change within the company to build this culture of profitability And we've heard this from, I don't know, Prem, I mean, 120 CEOs that, you know, we need to be able to, you know, start talking about profitability and make it a culture. And it can't be something that happens on a monthly or quarterly basis. It needs to be an everyday thing. And so these recommendations that we make, we don't provide 10,000 a day. We provide 4 to 5, but the ones that we do have over a 90% probability or predictability score associated with it using statistical significance modeling. And James, to get everybody on the same page, it's everything that Prem was just talking about. These recommendations have 5 components to them, and they form a sentence. And it always has something to do with a product or products or categories of products is the object. Number 2 is there needs to be an action that is made. And maybe it's mark up, maybe it's marked down, maybe it's an inventory transfer, you know, maybe it's a purchase, you know, and then there's going to be profit that is going to be gained. And we literally will go out and the AI engines will produce a predicted profit number that will be achieved through this recommendation. And then it also gives you duration. It doesn't say that you're going to do it sometime within the next 10 years. It'll name the time. You know, if you do this recommendation, it'll come true in 3.5 weeks from now, right? And then the last is it's established, you know, confidence score associated with that. And that in itself is helping our customers all get on the same page with what the business objective is. And that is the heart and kind of the hero of our system is starting at this point and making it very clear, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you obviously talked about needing historical data because you'll know you need to train up algorithms. They need to have the data to make the decisions. What's the standard setup? Like, what data do you need to, or what does the data as a business need to provide to you to make this actually work and make it being able to start making recommendations?
If we're able to get, you know, multiple years, but we're always looking for transactions that went down that day, any changes in inventory, anything to do with a customer, either through loyalty or through a CDP, any changes to the product catalog, anything in the supply chain, anything like on hand, inbound, or international supply chain, what more lengthy. We'll always take clickstream data based on either the behavioral. So we're able to build a hypothetical behavioral demand forecast. We're all about profit, so cost of goods sold, but probably more importantly, we're looking at true order value and cost. So things like what the customer acquisition cost is, what is your cost of a partial shipment, return rate, refurbishment cost, restocking availability, wastage, tax, stored credit, and so forth. Those are data that we're looking for. We also are looking for competitor data. And we go out and actually provide that service as one of the modules that we have. And we'll go out and do the scraping that needs to be done, looking for prices and price changes, as well as inventory levels as we go through. So when you look at all of those elements, you know, we're looking at, you know, 9 different pieces of data that is brought into our AI infrastructure. And those 11 AI engines go to work on that data and daily produce new, fresh, relevant, highly predictable recommendations.
And a sub-question that I actually have interest is, Do you need somebody in the client side to be an expert in data in order to provide, or do you provide that service where you would do the data transformation to ingest it in whatever format you need it?
No, we are a no-code implementation. So typically, what we have done, we realized early on that the 2 things that our merchants don't have is time and a lot of resources to help get themselves started, right? So what we did is we have certified partnership with all e-commerce merchants, all e-commerce platforms. So we work seamlessly with Shopify, we work seamlessly with Magento, with BigCommerce, WooCommerce, yeah, all of them, right? We have, so we have a plug and play mechanism to work with all the data sources we need, right? So we are able to do one click connects with most of them. So we can pretty much get most of most merchants stood up within a week max. You know, they have homegrown systems. Probably it's going to be a couple of more weeks more. But in all cases, there is zero effort from a customer standpoint or a merchant standpoint, simply because we'll provide a plug-in API that connects to those source systems and pulls in the data we need, right? And we try to do that in a fairly quick time frame, so that way it's you're able to see value within the first 30 days, right? Our goal is always, because merchants want, they're trying to make money every single day, right? At the end of the day, you're trying to not lose a single day in taking the right decision. So how quickly can we get there, right, is what we measure ourselves on. Just to say, if we can quickly connect, we can, and then all of our data science engines run automatically as soon as we connect the data. So it's it runs every night, and then it presents information that the very next day will come in. Anything from basic insights about a product to our recommendations, right? So a typical customer today for us can start seeing value within the first 30 days, and then kind of can start executing on those changes on an ongoing basis. Yeah.
And you referenced earlier, and I know you talk a lot about it on your website, about engineering process to identify and flag risks specifically. Can you give a few examples of what type of risk is it looking for? Like, how do you define risk, basically, and how this is working? How does it identify, and then what happens next? Do you, are there automation strategies reacting, or is it more about alerting people to make them make a decision?
Hey, Prem, can I take a shot at a real easy one, and then you could go over to the top with something brilliant? Okay. So what, here's a good one to kind of understand what we're doing, James. So when that data is imported in and into our AI engines, every day, those, as Prem mentioned, we're the AI engines are looking for anomalies in that data. And over time, they start, paying attention to those anomalies. And when they occur, at a high frequency chained together, it hits a point of statistical significance, and it wakes up and it says something like, hey, the sell-through velocity on product X, Y, and Z are 12% above the demand forecast. And they have been for the last 2.5 weeks. But we're letting you know right now, because nothing's going to change. If we all things the same, it's going to continue to do this. And the rest of the engines say, oh, that is great. We love to see our product selling well. But the inventory AI engine, keeping it simple, might say it's good news. However, if we keep selling it at this rate, we're going to have a stock out in 3.5 weeks from now. We were planning on the replenishment order being received within 5 weeks from now. We need to get together and create a recommendation for James. And that recommendation is going to be something that is calculated as having the highest probability, but also the highest profitability will be presented to you. Because you can imagine there are probably about 10 different scenarios that you could have there. And, going with, what Prem had mentioned before, that recommendation could be, we recommend that you increase your prices on these 12 products by 7% for a $21,000 profit gain in the next 17 days with a 93% confidence score, right? It could have went the other way. It could have said, hey, these prices for these or these products, price elasticity is very high, meaning that if you move your price, even 1%, up, you may stall that product. So we need to make an inventory move. And it could be, we have agreements with our distributors or our manufacturers that expedite product in. And though we're going to have to pay a fee, we will be able to get at least a quarter of our order in fast enough by paying that unprofitable fee. but it's going to, you know, prevent a KVI from selling out and having an out of stock situation. So it weighs the options and comes up with predictability and the profitability leader of those recommendations. That makes sense?
Yeah, that's a really nice example, actually. Because I was seeing this from a lot of e-commerce businesses, but if you inventory management is a constant challenge, because you don't want to hold too much because it's like, you know, it's lost opportunity, but you really don't want to have fractured stock because then that starts hitting your conversion rate. So yeah, nice example. And so Prem, any other examples that you can share that will help people understand what are the risks that can be identified?
Yeah, well, I mean, inventory is obviously one area where it's either, you know, we have an out of stock problem or the opposite of it, to Rob's point, where you have excess inventory too, right? How can you free up some of your working capital because you have locked your working capital, and how can you turn that into actual cash flow is an example of one of the other common things we see. There are two other areas that we have been seeing that become really popular. One is understanding how your competitor is doing. And how is that influencing your sales, right? So one of the things that we try to do with our competitor module is to monitor your top competitors, look at what price changes they've made over time, look at if they're running a promotion or not, look at all these signals that are on your competitor at seeing the influence of that on your sales, right? Is that impacting your sales? Do you need to act on your pricing or your promotion, or what are you trying to do? So bringing in competitor data and tying that into price and promotion is, again, an area where we try to see that if there are risks that are arising from that that impact your sales, we try to highlight that, right? Saying, hey, we see that there has been changes to what your competitors are doing. And what you can do in a system like ours is you can automatically set up what we call business rules or thresholds, where you could say, hey, take this automatic action. Think about, you know, one example is, think about clients. We have clients who have thousands of SKUs, right? Probably 5, 7, 10,000 SKUs that they're dealing with. And humanly, it's impossible to sit and monitor every single SKU against even 5 other competitors, right? So you're basically looking at a combination of 1,000 plus SKUs against 5 different competitors on a daily basis or a weekly basis, making price changes or making promotional changes. That's just humanly not possible, right? So you need a system that can actually monitor and tell you that these changes are happening, and this is the impact, or this is the percentage of your overall revenue that it might impact. So that's, again, an area where we see a lot of activity around, right? There are other risks also we try to kind of highlight, where we see items where suddenly sales have dropped to zero. We call it zero sales time. And we look at what is the average demand interval between a certain item, right? What if an item has been constantly selling at a certain demand pattern, and your average demand interval between selling, let's say, the span has been always every 7 days you sold this one of the span, and now all of a sudden you haven't sold something for 60 to 90 days, right? You are now, and then we correlate that with inventory, and we tell you, hey, you have thousands of the span sitting around, and all of a sudden the sales has dropped to zero for the last 60 days. Right. So we'll highlight that, and we'll tell you what recommended actions we suggest, right, to bring that back into the sales motion. So things like that, right? Being able to help you make those micro decisions. There are hundreds of micro decisions that lead to the profit goal. And those are all the areas that we constantly bubble up. So you're always staying abreast of what decisions you need to make to kind of move that needle.
Hypersonics helps e-commerce companies make more profit every day. This AI-driven platform delivers recommendations for pricing and inventory that lead to bigger profits. Visit hypersonics.ai/podcast to get a free trial.
And out of interest, how do you make it customer-centric? Because, I mean, those are really nice examples, but there's always an anomaly to a particular customer. I mean, let's take one example. A customer's products where they have a few that are just seasonal items, therefore they have a standard sales pattern, then it drops off X months a year, then it comes back. How does that intelligence get built in so they're not getting like false flags?
Well, you know, we started out this company early on, and just think about Grocer, you know, when we were building these AI engines in stores, it's all about seasonality and the AI engines that just had to be a part of the core. So what we're looking at, especially if we're fortunate enough to get, you know, years worth of data, our AI engines are picking up seasonality, demand curves, you know, throughout the year based on products, like products or categories of products. We also are influenced by our customers because they will give us their hypothetical dates for their seasonal items. And so we'll have to use that as a benchmark as well. But our AI is fully trained to look at that. And obviously, perishable goods are very short season. You know, an avocado is going to last, you know, 4 to 5 days within the store, right? And so we're timing of a product or a season is kind of, you know, second nature to us. And it was built in at the beginning of the architecture.
Yeah, yeah, the price monitoring side for the brand selling into grocers is a massive ongoing daily challenge for them because the number of campaigns, promotions, competitive price drops.
Yeah, we have several clients like that, right? I mean, when you start thinking about perishable goods or goods that even have an expiry date, right? Like there are certain things that have expiry date. There's certain things, I mean, the value drops to zero after that date, right? So they have to make decisions, correlate that with their inventory levels and make either clearance decisions or markdown decisions. And we help them with the whole markdown planning process. So we have a module that helps them with the ideal markdown strategy, right? What would be the, you can do a multi-period markdown, you can do a clearance markdown, you can do all of that stuff, right? So again, in all cases, we are trying to always say, what's the most profitable route for you to pay in, right? Each week.
Yeah, mate. And are you, because you do the data integration to get all of these, and you said it's ongoing signals, it's not just historic. Is that like real time? So just like an analytics package, you're picking up the session, the browser, so you're seeing all the data. Because I got a question actually, because one of the issues I've seen before in big businesses is where marketing and trading not always be talking the same language. So a marketer suddenly launches a really, really good successful paid media campaign that smashes sales on items that the trading and the buying teams hadn't thought they were going to suddenly need to rapidly replenish, which links back to your point earlier. I'm assuming, but assumptions are dangerous, that the algorithms are looking at the underlying drivers of the purchase, and if they suddenly see a big spike in traffic from higher converting, is it able to then change its prediction model and go, we think we could sell out quicker now because somebody's pushed the button?
That's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, because that happens all the time. And it's not intended, but things like looking at the page view of product detail pages, and the AI engine picks that up and says, geez, you know, for these products, we're seeing a 28% view rate. And actually, they're on the site, you know, 30% longer when they're looking at these items. And it might not be something that, you know, the whole merchandising team understands because they haven't spoken to marketing, but we will highlight that heightened activity so that they're able to then look at it and say, oh, okay, what's going on here? Before we take action on this, let's see if there is a promotion that's been pumping up the view in this, because we've kept, you know, our inventory is level and we've kept our price the same. You know, something is driving this. And it could be a situation where, I don't know, maybe these products were seen on TV and they got really popular all of a sudden. Maybe it wasn't a promotion. And maybe our inventory levels have dropped by 30%. And therefore, we're probably going to make a price recommendation to maybe even increase, you know, the price in order to create more profitability and also have an expedited, you know, purchase requisition to get more inventory in to cover that demand, right? But being able to look at what that consumer is doing and understand their purchase intent is an important part of our formula.
Yeah, amazing. I think it's a nice point because what when you're gearing towards profit, there are times when businesses can sell less but more profitably, and that's good. There's other times where they want to drive acquisition because they're hedging their profit on future retention and monetization of lifetime value. So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I guess this is the beauty of the AI ML is being able to do it at scale and present opportunities that you can then decide which strategy best fits with your current goals.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's you hit it on the head, right? And that's the real value that an AI system brings is the scale and being able to do that when you're dealing with so many SKUs and so many different signals and so many transactions on a daily or a monthly basis. And to be able to do that affordably too, right? It's one thing to have a team of 50 people sitting and doing it, right? And still having errors in it. And it's another thing to do it within split seconds at a fraction of the cost and being able to make smarter decisions, right? So I think those are the areas that really is changing the game. And we are seeing this, you know, ongoing growth in ChatGPT and AI as a just general trend across the world, right? Where you're seeing that, hey, you know, AI is changing the way, generative AI is changing the way how people are consuming information, making decisions. It's automating tasks and helping augment a lot of human intelligence. And we try to do the same, much more for quantitative data, right? Ours is a lot more quantitative based. We focus on things that are really driving profit for owners and merchants and merchandising leaders. And we help augment their decisioning process, right? They clearly know their business better than anyone else. And our job is to augment that with the right information.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice way to put it because AI is there to help humans work smarter. And it replaces some processes, but it doesn't take over the need that someone's got to have oversight because there are times you need to decide which are the recommendations to follow and which not. Because we all know that sometimes selling out is a good thing and not having stock coming is a good thing because you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. We never know anyone's business like the owner of that business. That's just a given, right? There's no way a system can do, but what a system can help is to augment that decisioning. You just be a lot more productive, right? You're just going to be a lot more productive, a lot more faster, and you're going to pick an opportunity at the right time. You're going to pick it up because there's a window during which this evaporates, the opportunity evaporates, right? It's kind of like stock picking. You buy something today, it goes up tomorrow. But if you didn't pick it up today, you're kind of lost that opportunity, right? So there's a window of opportunity that we're going to optimize and capitalize. And that's what we help them achieve, right?
I also like the fact that you can automate some of this because, for example, if you flag certain SKUs as clearance and you want to get rid of them and you know that by reducing the price, you're going to drive up your sales, that you can just automate that and not worry about it. Whereas your current lines, you don't want to be devaluing by reducing the price too early in the season. So I think that's nice. Let's talk about the integration piece because this I'm always interested in. As an e-commerce consultant, and you, Prem, you mentioned it earlier about some of the platforms you work with. So, Rob, can you talk people through what are the options for an e-commerce team to implement Hypersonic? So, what do they need to do? Is it all connector based, where they just literally connect their existing store to your product? But what do they need to think about in terms of integration?
Yeah. So, where we spent our money, we were able to raise quite a bit, was obviously the AI infrastructure. Number two was ease of use. Get everybody on the same page, understand what these recommendations are and how to accept them, you know, investigate them or reject them. And then number three was making sure that it was a no-code implementation. So we invested heavily into, you know, building adapters and connections with Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, Magento, Salesforce Commerce Cloud, Channel Advisor. I don't know if I mentioned Magento yet, Magento 2. We looked at all the primary players and built that. So things are happening quickly. What was part of our edict when we did our voice of the customer and talked to CBOs, they just abhor large projects that run off track, both in time and in spend. So that's where we put a lot of that money. We're also, you know, just from an analytics standpoint, you know, we always want to get Google Tag Manager, Google Analytics, Omniture, Mixpanel, you know, any of those analytics packages that we can grab data from and bring in, or that we could, you know, export to. Definitely from a business management systems and ERPs, you know, NetSuite, Microsoft Dynamics, QuickBooks, you know, integrating into those, and actually just Syn7, Deer Systems. I've just finished an integration and a partnership with them as well. They got about 10,000 customers that are out there as well. So we'll be looking at replenishment and inventory and so forth from them and their ERP. But we also support, you know, the major marketplaces from Amazon, Walmart, you know, working through Mirakl. We know that they're a strong player in that market as well, Target, you know, Wayfair. And then for, you know, I'm talking to a couple of companies that, you know, are using some pretty older technologies. You know, one is Ruby on Rails, you know, and for example, you know, in those situations, you know, we could build a custom API using our API adapter and bringing it out. But some of them might even use a CSV, or we would do something in FTP. So we've made it really defined by the package and the target system that we're integrated to is soft and flexible, you know, tools that are available in order to have successful implementations. We just don't want to waste a lot of time with that. And we have, you know, excellent people that have been with us for years that understand the science of data, and they're, you know, excellent at that. But we wanted to automate as much as we could.
Yeah, I think e-commerce merchants want that too. I think gone are the days of the expectation that the integration fees are more than the development fees and design fees.
Oh, yeah. My first 10 years were all in ERP, and that was even generous, right? So every decade, which now this is the end of my third decade in technology, it's been shorter and shorter. So this was a huge goal of mine, to be in a product-led growth company to where, yeah, that was a non-issue, or making it less of an issue.
That leads me on to my next question, Prem, which is product strategy, roadmap. Where are you taking Hypersonic? So what can people expect? Is it more about, just focusing on key capabilities and tooling and performance, or is it about enhancing feature sets?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Obviously, I think we're just scratching the surface on areas where AI can influence e-commerce, right? I think there's a great e-commerce as a market is growing. AI as technology is getting more and more widespread, right? And it's getting more and more widespread adoption. Today, we are obviously leading the way when it comes to anything to do with sales and profitability when it comes to e-commerce. You know, we are adding more and more some of the points that you brought up, capabilities around understanding marketing attribution within the product, right? Understanding, hey, because that's influencing profitability, to Rob's earlier point, right? Customer acquisition cost of, you know, ads, return on ad spend, and looking at all that. Because when I think about profitability for e-commerce merchant, obviously there's cost of goods, but then there's the cost of customer acquisition, right? And there's all these are probably their biggest costs. And so we're trying to always look at all aspects of profitability, right? And trying to add capabilities within the product that gives them this holistic view of how should they do better selling and better marketing, right? They can better market and better sell, they'll make more profits because they understand the products that they're selling. And that's our goal, right? Our goal is to add more capabilities in the product that gives them a full picture of their profitability, helps them understand what to market, how to market, what to sell, how to sell. Right. And if we can help them do that in a cost effective manner, in a quick time to value with no code, I think that's our goal. And we're going to add product features towards that, that gives them that, you know, one stop shop solution from us. Yeah.
And we've covered quite a lot today. I know that it's hard to simplify something that's doing quite a lot of complex, computations. But inevitably, there'll be people who think, oh, I'd quite like to find out more. So if someone wants to see a demo so they can actually see what it's really doing with their own eyes, how do they get in touch? Who do they reach out to?
Yeah, just our go-to-market team. And you know what? It's we don't really show a lot of PowerPoint. We show our product. And people get it within just a few minutes. So it's fun to watch that reaction. But where they would go, James, is to Hypersonics, and it's with an X, not a C, hypersonics.ai, and then /podcast, and fill out the form. And we will, you know, get on it immediately and set up that that meeting as quickly as possible. So that's where we go. And also there's hopefully, you know, there's something, even going out to our site, you'll be able to do that. You'll see request a demo all over the place. So feel free.
Excellent. Prem and Rob, thanks so much for taking the time, for answering the questions. I've enjoyed it. I've learned new stuff today, which is always good. That's why I love doing these podcasts. As Rob said, anybody listening who wants to find out more or get a demo, go to hypersonics.ai/podcast, and we'll put a link on the landing page as well on our website. And thanks, as always, to everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Keep an ear out for the next episode. We drop one every week. And don't forget to give us that rating on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you're listening. Take care, everybody. For more information on this topic, head over to replatform.fm for our audio podcasts. To discuss a project, or if you'd like to chat about any of the topics covered in this episode in more detail, please reach out to myself, James Gerd, or my co-host, Paul Rogers, via LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and keep your ears peeled for the next episode.